And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, January 26, 2016. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania. Of course, the tundra that is northwest Pennsylvania at the moment. We broadcast live each and every weeknight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Of course, we're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. There you can, well, we're also shown live on our official YouTube channel. Folks, links to each audio and video broadcasting menu can be found on our website. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com. That's HagmanandHagman.com. Also resurrecting HagmanReport.com and HomelandSecurityUS.com. And excited for that. And I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, Joe, my son. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son reporting, investigative reporting team. We dig deep into topics that the captured mass media won't, never will. And just want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Thank you for your belief and your trust in us tonight. My goodness, it really makes a difference. We really thank a lot of your emails and, of course, your postal mail that we get. And we really appreciate everything that you say and everything you do. And we appreciate your support. And we just appreciate you. Really. Long and short of it. Folks, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Whole Tones. You know Whole Tones. WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. You know Whole Tones. It's a great company. In fact, we had Michael Terrell on, the creator of WholeTonesLive.com, and he explained just basically how frequency does. It has, I mean, really, I don't want to say miraculous, but it really does affect the moods. It affects your stress level. It affects your, it enhances healing. I mean, doctors confirm that healing music reduces anxiety, stress, suicidal thoughts, even PTSD victims, have been treated by this depression, of course. More on that later, but again, portions of tonight's broadcast, folks, go to WholeTonesLive.com if you haven't done so already and download their free samples. It's a fantastic product. We stand behind it. Joe, it's great to be here. It's great to have you here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, well, I'll tell you, things are getting really strange out there. It's interesting the fact that today's Baltic Dry Index, it was just released. It's not good news.
Last time I saw yesterday, it was 554.
No, 354.
354. Yeah.
Right. It went down 9 points to 345. And I do believe, I really believe, you know, people say, well, how low can it go? How about 322? 322. Steve mentioned that, or I think we did both. I think Steve said 333. We said 322. I do believe there's significance in numbers. I really do. And that's, I think messages are being conveyed today. And I think this is one way to convey a message. But the Baltic Dry Index is really a composite of indices that measure, what's at sea, the commodities being shipped ultimately. I mean, the short answer is, that's what the short answer is. It began on January 1st, 1985 at 1,000. And, of course, it has never, ever in the history of its existence been this low. So just kind of tossing that out there right now.
And, again, that Baltic Dry Index is the number that indicates the amount of, what would you say, commerce or
well, yeah. I mean, you're looking at a number that is reflective. The short answer is... it reflects commodities. In other words, the higher the number, the more commodities are at sea being shipped between countries, and the lower the number, the less is being shipped. That's the result of a number value. And I'm not going to get into the really what the BDI is, but I guess that's real simple. So in other words, remember 2 weeks ago when Stan was on talking about looking at that map and saying, "Man, there doesn't appear to be any container ships at sea or any commercial." Well, was that right or was that just a glitch in the system? Hey, chances are.
We can ask him tonight.
That was right, though. No, I think that was correct. Because that's the Baltic. I mean, when you have a number that low, the Baltic Dry Index that low, you get some serious problems. So, and the economy is in a tailspin. Folks, it's just not the U.S. economy. It's a global economy. And this is what they are after. This is what the globalists are after. They want to crash the entire global economy. And I think that we really have to take a good hard look at what's taking place here. And know that we are in the end game. Now, people say, well, you know, you've been saying that for so long, and you know, it's fear and scare tactics and such. Well, no. Look at what's taking place. Look at the economies across the globe. Now, look at another important thing is look at the posturing between countries. Joe, between the East and the West, and... Hey, shooting wars are preceded by
currency wars
and trade wars. So this is what we're seeing, I believe.
The story I saw today that caught my attention on the currency wars subject was about George Soros and what he was trying to do with China. China warned Soros against declaring war on its currency. Did you get a chance to see that?
Briefly, yeah.
Not long after billionaire George Soros forecast a so-called hard landing for the Chinese economy, Beijing fired back at him, warning of him of betting against its currency, according to media reports Tuesday. Soros challenged against the renminbi and Hong Kong dollar is unlikely to succeed. There is no doubt about that, said a government official. In an opinion piece widely cited by several media outlets, the article headline "Declaring War on China's Currency" was published by the People's Daily, the official newspaper of the Chinese Communist Party, which is viewed as Beijing's propaganda tool. But a translation of the article can be found and linked to Zero Hedge, and it gives you the background of the story. But Soros made a prediction and possibly was going to take action with his money betting on the Chinese currency to crack or have a major setback. And this is no secret, Soros has been vocal about China's economy and their recent economic woes, according to this article. But Soros did not respond to a request after a call was placed at China's Ministry of Finance. He did not want to comment, but worries about China have persisted into 2016, playing a key role in wiping out some $3 trillion in market cap in the first week. And Soros is not expecting it just for China. Most economic forecasts, China's gross domestic product to grow in the margin of 6% because of the country's slowing manufacturing activity. But they're having problems in Japan. What's it, the Nikkei Index?
The Nikkei Index.
Nikkei Index was down 351. Or I think that's what it closed at, down 351.
Down.
Right. And we saw gold is up, I think, $12. There's a lot of fluctuation between oil, gold, or the commodities markets, and the currency markets. As one goes up and down, the other seems to take its place, where you see the drop in the value of oil, you see a rise in the value of gold. At least today, and the markets of Asia, and so on.
Yeah, it's the economy out there is. I mean, what we're seeing here is economic wars and just tremendous. Now, gonna open this up.
China stocks 13-month low.
Well,
that's from Bloomberg News from today, from this morning.
A couple of things, and if I can give a JD, if you can hear me, I apologize for this, or if you're listening, can you stick up the current YouTube on our website? In all the excitement of today, I failed to do that. It is up. Thank you. Okay. On the Hagman and Hagman.com? All right. Whoever did that, thank you. Yeah, it's just one of those days, let me tell you. And everyone has those days, right? Where it's just crazy. All right. One of the things that's bothering me, now I want to, if I can, take a few minutes here to discuss this. I know the economy is huge. Indeed, it's huge, but there's something else going on here. And I did a briefing from my office this morning, early this morning about this. And this is something, folks, that we need to be paying very close attention to, extremely close attention to, because, well, it has the potential to change the landscape. I mean, I'm talking about the landscape of free speech. It has the potential to change everything. In a nutshell, I suppose, remember the Center for Medical Progress back the spring and summer of last year?
Yeah.
Okay. They
the Planned Parenthood videos.
Right. All right. They had published about, I don't know, a dozen videos. They had numerous hours of videotape. What they did, a few individuals, and I'm trying to get my...
You can't get it.
These computer systems...
We can talk about this before the show, but this is something that
This is just incredible. These computers, this new operating system is just... Sorry.
Yeah, Windows 10. I wanted to ask you about this case because there is something about the charges that I missed yesterday glossed over that is very important.
Well, I've been immersed in this pretty much throughout the night, but...
The charge of dealing in tissues?
Right. Well, okay, how about this? Let me back up here. Now I've got my bearings here. Here's the issue. There are two separate issues, and let's go back, because this is going to affect all of us. And if you watch the video I did earlier today, folks, you'll understand why and how. Center for Medical Progress. Two real key individuals here representing the Center for Medical Progress. David DeLeiden and also Sandra Susan Merritt.
Merritt, yep.
Okay. And there are a few others. Actually, a total of six individuals/entities and others, and unknown co-conspirators inclusive. Now, this is the new battlefield in America right now. It's really not new, but it's affecting the truth tellers. Is weaponizing the legal system against people who are telling the truth. Yeah. Wait a second, because this is important. Okay, when a person strikes a nerve, when a truth teller out there strikes a nerve, And this happens, and this is going to be happening, folks, to you. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week or next month, but trust me, this is going to happen to you. When you strike a nerve and you call out someone and you say, look, here's an issue, or you threaten to expose, or your research is threatening to expose someone. Oh man, watch out, because they will weaponize the legal system against you, and if nothing else, they'll do it just to tie you up and to bleed you dry money-wise. Okay, well, this, in my view, is exactly what's happening here with Planned Parenthood, except it's more than that. Because see, not only is Planned Parenthood, it, again, this is my personal professional opinion, I got to preface this, because you know, the lawsuits are, you know, everyone's litigious. So let me preface this by saying all of this is in my personal and professional opinion. In addition to Planned Parenthood filing a lawsuit against the Center for Medical Progress and the individuals that took the videos, covert videos, and those yet unknown co-conspirators, inclusive in this article, so meaning that this 64-page lawsuit, sound familiar? Anyway, never mind. The 64-page lawsuit, to read it is, and I read the entire lawsuit, this RICO lawsuit, it's just, it is unconscionable that attorneys... It's just, it, it, I'm getting stressed here because can you tell I'm stuttering? Okay, but that's one issue. That was filed on January 14th of 2016. The separate issue, which you're talking about, John, is the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, convening a grand jury. Okay? Convening a grand jury and well, go ahead.
Well, this David Dalinian was charged with, he was indicted on a misdemeanor count related to purchasing human organs.
Well, okay.
Now,
which they never did.
They posed as undercover tissue companies to buy aborted fetal tissue from the Planned Parenthood Gulf in order to get the evidence they needed, which. You mentioned yesterday that this practice, in investigative context, is legal and is not criminal. What they did was, you had a term for it yesterday, the practice of going undercover and
permissible pretext. But see, that's not even the issue. Hang on a second.
No, it's not.
Back on.
And you mentioned the fact that these people have. Uncovered evil and exposed it, and they're being charged for it. What happened to whistleblower protection? Say something.
Exactly. Okay.
Not you, but people aren't going to be so willing and likely to come forward to say something to Big Brother and DHS out there if they're in fear of being prosecuted for it.
Well,
people are going to either. Get to the point where they're pushing buttons, or they're going to be conforming to the other side, because that's where it's coming down to.
Well, this what's taking place right now with Planned Parenthood is the template for the New World Order, if you will. This is the template for the implementation of the New World Order in the larger sense. Sorry, I just ran into my office and got some notes here that I took. I went through the 64-page lawsuit, and to read it again, it's just incredible in terms of what it states. It's filled with hyperbole, and it's really ridiculous. But how about this? So you've got last week, Planned Parenthood filed a federal racketeering lawsuit against David Dalinian, Sandra Merritt. Now, the Texas grand jury, who took this up upon investigation, filed charges of felony tampering with a government record against David Dalinian and Sandra Merritt, and against David Dalinian, felony tampering with a government record and the prohibition on the purchase involving himself in the violation of the prohibition on the sale and purchase of human organs. But see, how can that be if Planned Parenthood in October of last year said they weren't doing it? They denied doing it. They said, we don't do this. As a matter of fact, October of 2015, they came out and said that, in fact, we're not doing it, and we're going to stop taking federal funding for the act that we're not doing. Okay, that's so this is how twisted this is. Now, I don't know, folks. You might remember back in 1985, January 1985, New York Daily News. They did an interview with Judge Saul Wachtler. Excuse me, Judge Saul Wachtler. And in this interview, it was an interview about the court system, but he stated this. He stated that district attorneys have so much influence on grand juries that they could get them to indict a ham sandwich. Now, you remember that phrase was made absolutely, it was a household phrase for a while there. It was made famous by author Tom Wolfe in the 1987 novel, The Bonfire of the Vanities. Remember that movie? Remember that, or that novel? Oh, big time. Anyway, the judge himself who said that was embroiled later in a controversy involving a domestic matter. But having said all of that, the important issue here, last summer there was a grand jury that was convened at the behest of the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, to look at both Planned Parenthood and, the Center for Medical Progress. And you have to understand, folks, that it's my experience that the government, that grand juries serve, really, at the behest of the prosecutors. They serve, they act as the, well, they've got so much power. It's like using a grand jury. It's, if you've ever been involved in a grand jury, if you've ever sat in a grand jury, or if you've ever been involved in the grand jury process, you know it's a one-sided deal. Okay, so they're usually held in secret, or you know everything that's said in there is contained. It's not public, and the prosecutors have a lot of leeway. Bottom line is this: this Texas grand jury came out with was indictments against the Center for Medical Progress individuals, as stated, for tampering with a government record. Meaning, this is more of a when you get into both the indictment as well as the RICO suit, this is more of using false pretenses in order to say you're someone you're not, involving the government system. In other words, when you buy fetal tissue, or when you are involved in the system that allows for the procurement of fetal tissue for research, the government oversees that. So if you say, for example, that you are a member, or you are involved in that as a purchaser or a seller, depending on what the case might be, then you are misrepresenting yourself as a government agent. So that's a felony. All right, that's what that stems from. The other part of it is, again, the prohibition on the purchase and sale of human organs, which once more, tell me, ladies and gentlemen, if Planned Parenthood denied being involved in selling the hearts, the kidneys, the baby parts, if they denied that and said they weren't selling it, how can someone be indicted for that? So while you have the civil end of things over here with the RICO suit filed by Planned Parenthood and their highly paid attorneys, you've got the criminal suit over here by the government. Now, they're two separate actions, but they're working together. It's a symbiotic relationship that's working together. The planning or the timing of this, does anyone find it suspect? A grand jury convened last summer comes back with an indictment just within days after the RICO action was filed?
They were looking at Planned Parenthood. These two people were not on any grand jury or indictment list. What happened was the grand jury's investigation initially began by the Harris County District Attorney's Office in Houston was looking into Planned Parenthood, but jurors concluded that the organization committed no wrongdoing. And instead, as this says here, they say that this was pretty rare to see this happen, but that although it's unusual for a grand jury to indict someone who was not the initial target of the investigation, grand juries are supposed to be independent and follow the evidence. That from Philip Hilder, a Houston criminal defense attorney. He says, I think it's up to the grand jury to judge and evaluate the credibility of those making the accusations. It is apparent here that the grand jury felt that a crime had been committed by the accusers. Now, I'm not that familiar with the process of grand juries, but do you remember a case where somebody or a corporation or a person was indicted and the grand jury turned around and would indict somebody who was not on the list? I mean, isn't just their job?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How they do that?
Yeah, okay. Yes, because a grand jury serves as an investigative body and is a long arm of the I shouldn't say a long arm. It serves as an investigative body where evidence that would not ordinarily be allowed into a normal trial is introduced into a grand jury. And I, rather than get into the grand system of the grand jury, know this, that the prosecutor really holds all of the cards. You know, it's real simple. They hold all of the cards, and that's unfortunate in this case. But so you've got two different actions taking place. Now, In again, October 2015, Planned Parenthood announced it would stop accepting money for supplying fetal tissue, body parts, in other words, from aborted babies. So,
you see, today they deny that they ever did
ridiculous.
It, and they say that, you know, oh, this is all lies, and that this even proves that the lie is much more heinous, and the videos were actually a deception, placated on the people. I don't know if you've.
I've gone through this entire
CNN,
thing here.
Washington Post, New York Times, and they all have that. When you see the Planned Parenthood representatives commenting, they always are throwing in either that these people were anti-abortion extremists, or that this proves that the videos were basically a falsely created deception.
Yeah, well, it's not. I mean, they're not.
Do you remember Hillary Clinton saying, "We will get the person who made these videos"? I read that on a comment section yesterday.
Yeah,
I have not been able to find it, though.
Well, you're paraphrasing here. I think what she meant was we would, or what she stated was, we are going to go after.
Yeah.
Hang on just 1 second here. Let me refresh this because it's really wow.
Back in October 27th, 2015, Hillary Clinton called this Planned Parenthood aborted baby sale, tissue sale, a witch hunt.
There we go. All right, now I feel good. I'm back. Okay.
She claimed that the creation of a special committee to investigate Planned Parenthood is just a code for partisan witch hunt. Back in the 27th of October.
And don't forget, we have to look at the larger picture here, because Hillary Clinton is a follower of Margaret Sanger. In fact, the recipient of the Margaret Sanger Award.
Yeah.
And what did Margaret Sanger do? She was the eugenics. You know, the mother of eugenics, if you will, and in fact was a hideous a proponent of eugenics, hideous proponent of actually culling the black population and those who have lower IQs. But let me just, in case you haven't, folks, in case you haven't delved into this complaint, let me just go over a few things here real quick, because again, this to me, this is you have to hear this to really understand, I believe. What Planned Parenthood's accusations are. And again, this is filed on January 14th, 2016. And the introduction here, you've got different parts of a civil suit. You've got, of course, the main page, which lists the plaintiffs and the defendants. This, of course, is filed in the United States District Court, Northern District of California, San Francisco Division. Oh boy. All right. What this is a complaint for damages and for declaration and injunctive relief, demand for a jury trial. Pretty standard verbiage. And who's actually bringing this suit? It's the Planned Parenthood Federation of America Incorporated, Planned Parenthood Shasta Diabolo Incorporated, DBA, Planned Parenthood of Northern California, and on and on and on. I mean, all of these are Northern or this area of California. They're the plaintiffs. And who are the defendants? Well, Center for Medical Progress, Biomax Procurement Services, LLC, David DeLeiden, also known as Robert Sarkis, Troy Newman, Albin Romberg, Philip S. Cronin, Sandra Susan Merritt, also known as Susan Tenenbaum, Gerardo Adrian Lopez. And this is where, to me, this tells me a lot, and unknown co-conspirators, inclusive. So they are looking and intend through the discovery process to find additional people to join in this suit. This is a RICO action. And I can't stress enough, this is a RICO action. And again, I would urge everyone.
Which is what they use to charge mafia or large criminal conspiracies.
Right. The intent here for under RICO, which is you can search RICO, but the intent with using RICO is to go after organized crime syndicates. And it was created for that purpose, and at least at the criminal level. And now they've introduced this into the civil court system, and this is what we're seeing here. But here's the reason why this is important, ladies and gentlemen. And again, if you take the time out, if you don't mind, going to YouTube now, I have in progress, and certain things happened today where. Was taken away from what I was doing suddenly and unexpectedly, and I apologize for that. But along with my video is a write up that I'm doing, and it's going to be a summation of what I'm talking about here right now. But here's why this is so important. Because out of all this stuff, we could be talking about the economy. We could be talking about the war that's coming. Well, this is part of the domestic assault against the domestic, or on the domestic front. And here's why this is important. What is going to take place civilly and criminally is going to affect you and me and him and Eric and everyone. And here's why. This case will be used to demonize, not to demonize, to criminalize. Now listen carefully, to criminalize the ideology of pro-life. So in other words, if you are pro-life and you speak out in favor of pro-life issues or on the side of anything against abortion, that action of you speaking out will be a criminal act. And they're going to cite this case to make that happen. Now think about that for a moment. You're on Facebook and you promote your own ideology or the ideology of being pro-life. That could very well be construed, in my view, based on where I see this going, as a criminal act. And you think, oh, this is all that. Come on. That's BS. That's not going to happen. You go out to protest the killing of unborn infants at a Planned Parenthood facility. You will be arrested. That will become a criminal act. If you go out, or if you type on, like again, Facebook or use Twitter or any social media to advance an agenda, your ideology of pro-life, you could be charged. This is where I see this heading now. Okay, but they're not going to stop there. This will become a legal template if it is litigated favorably in favor of Planned Parenthood. This will become a template for any political and religious ideological dissent. Now, please understand what I'm saying here.
It's like those eco-terrorists we talked about yesterday using a new defense of breaking the law in court and having a judge actually hear it in two separate cities.
Yes.
In the same 2 weeks for the first time in history.
Exactly. The introduction of this, Joe, and again, I went through all 64 pages of this complaint, and, you know, it's really a legal tripe, okay? It is filled with hyperbole, and I've seen similar complaints. I do believe it's my personal opinion that they're written by people that have it's my personal belief that, you know, they're written by people that are just absolutely psychotic, okay? That's just my personal belief, and so don't take my word for it. It's just what I feel personally. Alright. This complaint, this is starting out, you know, the first line, first page, basically. This complaint details, and I'm going to give it word for word here, a complex criminal enterprise conceived and executed by anti-abortion extremists. Notice these words that are being included in this suit. This is not by accident. This is a well-crafted document. So, folks, if you believe that it's wrong to kill children, unborn children, you are now an anti-abortion extremist. This complaint is filled with hyperbole, inflammatory language. Okay? The express aim of this enterprise, it is written here, which stretched over years and involved fake companies, fake identifications, and large-scale illegal taping, was to demonize Planned Parenthood, harass and intimidate its dedicated staff, and interrupt its operations, all with the ultimate goal of interfering with women's access to legal abortion. Now, hold on just 1 second here, okay? As you had mentioned earlier, Joe, when an undercover detective goes in to make or knows that there's a drug dealer, and he's going to go buy an 8-ball of cocaine or a quantity of cocaine or whatever, that police officer is not representing himself as a police officer. In fact, he's operating under the pretext of a buyer of a commodity that's contraband, illegal contraband, right? So there's a permissible pretext there given by the court system that if someone is engaged in illegal activity, yes, the police are allowed to use that pretext to go in and to make a controlled buy. Now, entrapment, you might say. Well, here's where entrapment comes in. If that same police officer goes to a cab driver out of the blue, and this cab driver is a, you know, has nothing to do with drugs or anything, and forces him to go to someone to buy, or forces him to buy a drug and then sell it to the police officer, and then the police officer arrests the cab driver. Now that's entrapment. Okay, do you see the difference here? In other words, the police officer going to a drug dealer and buying drugs, there's a continuing course of criminal conduct by the individual that is the suspect in this case. And of course, that person, it'd be like asking the drug dealer to drive a cab illegally without a license. That's entrapment too. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, the Center for Medical Progress went in there. The individuals went in there. They didn't ask Planned Parenthood to, you know, sell them drugs. No. They're inquiring, and inquiring is the key word here, about what they do with their body parts. And you see, again, the legal system, the civil legal system, is weaponized, being weaponized by Planned Parenthood, is being used as a weapon by Planned Parenthood. But here is where it gets really, to me, where I'm saying people better understand what's taking place. This will extend to everyone who has a verbal opinion or a written opinion about abortion, because the investigative work product of the Center for Medical Progress was so good, was so damning to Planned Parenthood, was so on the money accurate. And this took Planned Parenthood by complete surprise, that Planned Parenthood had to respond, not just by denial, but by demonizing themselves, the individual who exposed the wrongdoing, individuals who exposed the wrongdoing. In so doing, they received help from, and this is my belief based on reasoned and intellectual research here, received help from the government, and I'm talking about the globalists within the government, to launch this civil suit. And in my view, based on my research, acted in tandem with both state and federal investigative bodies to make sure not only were the individuals who exposed these activities of Planned Parenthood were prosecuted civilly or engaged in civil litigation, but also criminal litigation, because of the timing. So what I'm telling you, and I immediately, what came to mind is Coach Dave Dobmeier and others on his team, and anyone else who would, anyone else who would go to the Supreme Court, for example, for any cause, whether it be abortion in this case or homosexual marriage, and whatever the perversion might be, the perversion against morality, in order for the globalists to bring in this one world government, which key is the one world religion, they absolutely must criminalize the activity that could take down such objectives. This is why it's so important. Did I just make sense? That mm-hmm. Eric, feel free to, yeah, okay, he's shaking his head yes, and then he throws up his hands and throws something at me. Okay, yeah, there you go. Now, that's because this is so absolutely dire, I believe. I believe people are going to be looking at this and looking back in history and saying, this was that moment in time when we had a chance to do something and we didn't. You see, in this 64-page, and through the article with the earlier video that I did, and the article that's going to be attached, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, it will be up there. But I'm going to link this, and you can find the PDF file on this. Now, if you use like Firefox or whatever, for whatever reason, it just it's all garbled, so you might have to use Explorer or some other. But anyway, it's a PDF file. But this plan, or this RICO suit, explains and gives numbers of how many abortions basically they've done, and what their client base is in just in that community, in that area of California. And it, and it's interesting, they're talking about California here in this. Well, of course, it gets involved. I'm not going to get through the whole case, but this happened in Texas. But
well, it's the Planned Parenthood Gulf,
right?
It's a regional.
Well, that's part of their
system. So,
but it's interesting because the very case that they deny, or the very issue they deny, is number three in this: fetal tissue donation is entirely legal and plays a vital role in medical research. This is what Planned Parenthood is saying in this civil RICO case. Virtually every person in the U.S. has benefited from research that relies on fetal tissue. Vaccines for polio, hepatitis, rubella, chickenpox, and so on. Now, I'm not going to read it all, but it's laden with a lot of not just hyperbole, but also information that would... I've seen few... civil suits constructed like this. When I say few, I mean it's when you've got this the number of adjectives here. I suppose if they took out the adjectives, they could probably cut this whole thing in half. The hyperbole, they could cut this in half, the length of this in half. But this is but you could tell that Planned Parenthood, at least in my view, is really running scared on this. But again, the what's
not
the bigger
anymore.
Picture? What's the takeaway? What's the takeaway? Right. The takeaway is, folks, any, and we also, we've seen the censorship now. We've seen censorship take place on Facebook and Twitter. You post something pro-life on Facebook, it's going to be censored, or it has a good chance of being censored if you use certain keywords. If you talk against Planned Parenthood, it will be censored. But now it's going from criminalization to censorship to ultimately to criminalization. And this is what I want to get across, because the ushering in of this one world government is going to be wholly dependent upon ushering in the one world religion, this amalgamation of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, and perverting all three monotheistic religions is what they're trying to do. And this is why you see, for example, the Vatican, the Pope saying, well, you know, it's okay to be, you know, if you're, for example, homosexuality, we're kind of pulling back a little bit on certain areas of morality.
And this is why TV shows called Lucifer, giving bad a good name, can air on network TV.
There you go. Yeah.
Without any backlash or outcry.
So I really don't, I mean, people might say, well, enough of this abortion, enough of the homosexuality, enough of this. But when you start to look at it and say, okay, and you mentioned this earlier, Joe, you mentioned about the whistleblowers. Here are the Center for Medical Progress. Oh, the anti-abortion activists, I said that, okay, earlier, but I just want to make sure. Anti-abortion extremists, mm-hmm. Okay, that's important language. So, anyone who writes, and you will be labeled an anti-abortion extremist, which then puts you on the lexicon of DHS, which then has a chilling effect with respect to being able to purchase weapons or to buy a gun or to, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's, so can you see the larger criminal enterprise that's being created here? So everyone will be a felon, and no one will be able to have the freedom that they so desire in this New World Order situation. And I purposely say New World Order because that is that's the key element here. This, you know, people say, well, you know, people ask about the New World Order. When is it going to be in place? And it's got to be in place only, you know, under Satan or Lucifer. No, it doesn't, because you're seeing the architecture, the framework being constructed right now before your very eyes.
You make a good point.
Excuse me. You all right? You okay?
I got some important
to
say.
You got a hairball in there?
Yeah, apparently. No, you're right. I mean, this is just so far off the deep end when you see people exposing or trying to expose actual, not even crimes, but we're talking about murdering and the profiting off of the corpse of the murder victim. And they're the ones who are arrested. They are the ones who are going to be prosecuted. They're the ones who now have criminal charges that they're facing. While Planned Parenthood will call them anti-abortion extremists, we'll use this to, like you said, to set precedents as far as people who come against them.
You and I, okay.
And the and you're exactly right when you said about the system of the kingdom of darkness, the Antichrist kingdom.
Yes.
That has to be here before the Antichrist comes.
Absolutely.
Will be completely in place when he gets here and reveals himself.
Yes, yes. And people in their mind have this, they've got a death grip on a certain way that things are going to unfold. Meanwhile, everything is unfolding right in front of their eyes and they're not recognizing it. You and I want to go back, I want to just touch on this story. Just to be clear, back in the 1990s, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the 14 minute video I did. Anyway, back in the mid 1990s, I worked for one of the largest companies in the United States. They hired me, my firm, to investigate intellectual property theft. It was a telecommunications company, and it was pretty intricate in terms of what was going on. But individuals, well, I'll give you an example, a byproduct of this intellectual property theft. You got to listen carefully to this, because this is important. A byproduct of this intellectual property theft were the end users of a circuit board that you put in those old cable boxes, or even the cable box itself that allowed you to get all the free channels, you know, for nothing. You recall that big dust up way back in the, okay, so you buy a cable box and you hook it up and you get all kinds of channels for free, unscrambled. Okay, this is back in the day. I don't even know if they have them.
Yeah,
now.
It offered pay-per-view, special events like boxing matches and so on.
Yeah, so
HBO, that kind of stuff.
In the area, in our region, and when I say region, I'm talking a multi-state region. They estimated their losses in the tens of millions of dollars. Okay, so the head of the company tasked a regional director to hire my firm to investigate this. So what I did was, and it was rife. The activity was rife. So what I did I would go in to different people, companies, and whatever, and present myself as an end user or a member of another company. In fact, a fictitious company, very much like what the Center for Medical Progress did, these individuals there. And then I would make a buy, and then, of course,
it's all about
the buy.
It's all about how far they let you go.
Right.
Those people that you're investigating.
Right. And it was, you know, again, I was not asking them for, you know, a kilo of Coke or whatever. No, it was the permissible pretext under which that these people were operating and conducting their line of business. So, all right. So what happened was, again, the weight of this company was such that they were able to get the FBI and say, hey, at the J. Edgar Hoover building, and say, hey, you know, Doug Hagman over here is he's got a mountain of evidence against a whole bunch of companies for criminal activity. Would you investigate? Well, they were up, you know, at the door in a minute, okay? Because, again, money talks. Commerce talks. You had a different Department of Justice back then. And I'm not saying it was better or worse, but nonetheless. Okay, so the FBI working with the local district attorney, and I'm telling you this for a reason because I can see how this is playing out. They said, okay, what do you have? And they looked at the evidence and they said, great, here's what we want to do. We want to wire you up. We're going to send you in various places. This is one of the times that I worked for the Department of Justice, and the FBI is an operational asset. And they said, okay, we're going to wire you up. We're going to send you in different places. You make controlled by. Here's our money. Use our money. Use our camera equipment, our wires, or whatever it is. And we had better stuff than they did, but nonetheless. And you go in and make the purchase. Not a problem. And then you come back out, and we catalog the circuit boards or whatever, and then we will file criminal charges against them. And they were all felonies. And, you know, in fact, you go in and you talk and you try to get their supplier. It's kind of like a drug thing. Their supplier and their supplier and their supplier. See where this leads. Well, it got to the point where I happened to get into a case where the suppliers were into organized crime. I mean, we're talking about, you know, mafia. And they had to pull me out because it was a little dicey, actually.
Yeah.
You know, but having said all of that, okay, and I was present when a guy brought, as a matter of fact, a man brought about a million, not quite a million, it was about almost $800,000 worth of computer chips to a dropped, or to, he was dropping them at a location. This is in the back of a warehouse, and it's kind of creepy. Anyway, so they go in. This guy comes in with this load of circuit boards and other electronics, which at that level, you know, the FBI were there, was involved, and this guy was a guy that was. I mean, I was in this home. I presented myself as just a businessman, and so when he dropped the cases, actually, of equipment and handed me that money, at that moment, his world changed. I mean, in a bad way. His world changed, and a contingent of federal agents came down on him like I've never seen happen before. Actually, I'm not going to embarrass the guy, but something did happen there where I'm sure he wouldn't be proud of it, but yeah, he ended up in jail. So the reason I said that is, and you and I have been worked on cases where we have represented ourselves under pretext, and everything mm-hmm. was fine except for one judge, and that was the only time I got really angry, because, you know, New York state law, Pennsylvania state law allows for permissible use or permissible pretext.
Right. You know, and not to mention, we got up at like 2 in the morning, drove 8 hours to be in, you know, where was that? Pretty much the opposite end of New York State.
Right.
About 20 miles south of the Canadian border on the east side from Erie, Pennsylvania. And I remember that. The judge called you a liar.
Yeah.
You took the TV we brought and you threw it. And
That wasn't fun. But that was my first time ever of meeting or seeing a judge saying that you can't do that. You cannot use a permissible pretext in order to obtain evidence, which is contrary to the New York state law and every law in the nation. It's
right.
Just contrary to that.
And the subject of that investigation, all we did was ask if we could join the man and videotape what he was doing. And he said, absolutely.
Yeah.
Which was trapping animals.
Oh yeah, and he invited us in, and we got all this videotape, and we couldn't show it. So, you know, being the solid Christian I wasn't at the time, I explained how I felt on the record.
Yeah.
And
tell you, I've never met twice in my life. I was worried that you would get arrested. Once was then. Once was at the airport coming back from Montana.
Only twice.
Enough. Yeah. Well, you should have been with me at different times. But the bottom line is, I just want everyone to understand the importance of what we're seeing here with Planned Parenthood. And folks, please keep Coach Dave Dobmeier in your prayers. Why do I keep mentioning him? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he's on the front lines, and we're all going to be on the front lines, whether we are going to be doing so willingly now when we can make a difference, or when the front lines are going to be brought to us, the lines are going to be advanced against us.
Or you'll be on the other side.
There you go. Exactly. Perfect timing with that. So let's get behind him and others of this initiative now. Let's understand and let's expose Planned Parenthood for their tactics of intimidation, as well as the grand jury. Well, you know what? The grand juries are grand juries, and that judge was right from New York. You know, they can do anything. They can indict anybody. They can indict, you know, Bernie from Weekend of Bernie's. The bottom line here, however, is where it goes from here, how how they handle this. So we have to pay very close attention, folks, and please, 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 please pray, and let's get behind those who need it.
Folks, we'll be right back on this Tuesday, January 26th edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're going to hit more news on the other side of this hour, followed by Stan Deo in hour number 3. Don't forget he's coming off his anniversary from last week.
Yeah, we're going to ask him about that.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.